we're all much more sophisticated in our analysis of justice questions and questions about family and psychological questions. And this novel contains those things, and I love to really not shy away from the subject, but really to lean into them.
That's Lisa Scottolini, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Lisa Scottolini is the New York Times bestselling author and Edgar Award-winning author of 32 novels. She has 30 million copies of her books in print in the United States and has been published in 35 countries. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, Someone Knows. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell us about this latest novel. What are readers going to find here?
Well, the title is Someone Knows, and in short, it's the story of a teenage prank that goes horribly wrong and the effects of it 20 years later. When there's a tragic death, this girl, who's kind of the protagonist, has to figure out what really happened. And it's changed her whole life, and she goes back to solve the mystery that essentially is her own life. And at the end, it's a surprise, as life is.
Was there a particular inspiration for this novel?
Well, you know, I've written 30 novels now, and I think the inspiration for them is usually justice and family. To me, the question is, what is justice? And as a former lawyer and law professor, I thought about that a lot. And I think the headline is, you know, we think that there is punishment, and punishment stands in for justice in our culture. But when you really plumb it, and especially when you talk to crime victims or if you've been one yourself, you know that punishment isn't really what you want. Punishment is what you'll settle for. I mean, justice becomes kind of a consolation prize. What you really want is everything the back way it was. You want it never to have happened. So a lot of my novels explore what is justice in various situations. Someone Knows explores it because I wanted to look at the situation where this teenage prank goes wrong, bad things happen, and they get away with it. So in essence, there is no punishment. They are not punished. So the question Someone Knows is really, what is justice in the absence of punishment? Does punishment serve a purpose in human psyche? Not even leaving aside in culture writ large. And that's what I'm exploring in this book, because really these four characters who are engaged in this prank all react in different ways to getting away with what they get away with. The main character is so guilt-ridden throughout her whole life that she basically gives herself a much stiffer penalty than the law ever would have. So when she goes back to really figure out what happened, it's her way to understand her own guilt and hopefully to reach closure. Because I do believe in that, you know, no justice, no peace is a real thing. The relationship of justice to human healing is something that interests me a lot. So that's what the book's really about at its core.
As you point out, they got away with it legally, but obviously they did not get away with it in terms of the impact it had on their lives.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the truth is, you know, many of us have not engaged in a teenage prank which someone's tragically killed. But when I, as I've gotten older, I look back at my life and I go, wow, what a stupid thing I did. You know, what was I thinking? Why didn't I examine that? I'm divorced twice. You have to go, well, gee, what was my role in that? What mistakes did I make? What would I do differently now? And I really wanted to play with that notion as well, because I think what happens in this character's past forms who they are at the same time as they make the decision they do because of who they are and the way they're raised. And what we all do next is just the stuff of life, isn't it?
This story is told both in the present and the past, and I'm curious about the challenge for you as the author to get inside the mind of the teenage version of your characters to make their thought processes ring true.
Yeah, that's really true. And I usually write adult characters, so I actually hung out in my local high school and learned the amazing thing that I probably should have already known, which is that teenagers are so fully sophisticated that they are really, truly young adults in a way that I never was, you know, going back. And also that I want to give each of these characters, there's four characters, in addition to the main character, context in their family. So I also, as I do in every novel, plumb something emotionally true in myself. I mean, for a novel to succeed, my books are often called page-turners, which is wonderful, and I take that as a compliment because I think the main ingredient into a page-turner isn't action or any of the dumb stuff people think it is. It's really making a believable, really true characterization. And to do that, you have to really plumb something that's emotionally true or literally true in yourself. And you have to kind of award it to that character and let it inform that character. So, for example, there's a kid in this book who is a product of divorce. I had that in my life, and unfortunately, since I'm divorced, my daughter had that. And he says to himself at one point, Well, my life is divided into my dad's weekends and my mom's weekends. And where are my weekends? And that's an emotionally true thing that I think kids feel in that position. And when you open that up, you have a reader connect more closely because they sense the truth. I mean, truth really does have a ring. And in answer to your question, you have to do that no matter what the age of the character. So I just really tried to hang out with a lot of teenagers, understand what their points of references are, and remember my own as well. And the truth is, what I learned from that, ironically enough, is that, you know, there's a lot of teenagers who are a lot more mature than adults, and there's a lot of adults who don't have half the maturity of teenagers. So that I started to think about how chronological age is certainly an illusion, which is always a comforting thought as we get older, right?
Well,
it's the number, babe.
You explore the parent-child relationships of your characters and, you know, how those children were formed and the relationships they've had with their parents influenced the decisions they made as teenagers, and then that continues to influence them throughout the rest of their life.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And you end up reverse engineering that. Like, of course, you said that so beautifully. I said, yeah, that's what you're trying to do. But it's funny, you don't set out to illustrate it. You just want to, because I don't write with an outline. So I go along, and this book has a surprise ending that really surprised me, and it's probably the best surprise ending I've ever written. But it's the only way it could have gone, when you understand who these characters are. Because I think if writing a novel and reading a novel is a lot like life, in that as the event happens to you, it forms you and drives you forward, or actually sets you back. And since none of us knows what is around the corner, for good or for ill, that's what I think makes reading so exciting in some ways, especially fiction. You know, a lot of this book in the prologue, I'd never written this before, but I have a prologue where the character says, you know, one of the characters is a book fan, big time. And he's like, you know, people think you learn from nonfiction, and you do. But you also learn from fiction. And we don't always apply fiction to our lives until we have that aha moment at one a book when we go, wow, that's just like me. I know that feeling. And I really wanted to mine that for someone knows.
Well, this book deals with an event that happened 20 years ago. So the character's memory of that event is important. And because you tell the story from the perspective of the different characters, those memories aren't all the same.
Exactly. Which they wouldn't be even in any event. As you know, you and I spoke on the phone a long time ago. I go, yeah, I remember him, but I don't remember. And you go, I remember you said this. We can remember different things. And then you add trauma into that. And as we know, trauma affects memory. And my daughter and I'm a single mother, and as I said, divorced. You know, we'll look back and we'll go, well, remember when this happened? And she'll say, that isn't what happened at all. And families, in a way, make a collective memory, but sometimes it isn't what the truth is hard to say. And I wanted to explore that. You know, I think I love my job and I feel lucky, really lucky to have it. And readers are so smart. And even so nowadays, much more even than before, I think of myself as writing, you know, entertainment for smart people, because they want to think about those issues. We're all much more sophisticated in our analysis of justice questions and questions about family and psychological questions. And this novel contains those things, and I love to really not shy away from the subjects, but really to lean into them.
Lisa, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. Mm-hmm. If you could spend a day with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Well, I would spend a day with the main character, and having spent about, you know, 350 pages with her, that's almost a year, because I think she reminds me of me in some ways, and she reminds me of a lot of women I know, and men as well, who are sometimes over-responsible. You know, because as I say, because the law didn't punish them, she punished herself. And she punished herself more than the law would ever have. And I remember, you know, when I had an overdue book at a library, oh my God, those fines are weighing up, and people are, if I'm waiting for a parking, like sometimes when I get out of the car and I take too long, someone's waiting for the space, I'm nervous, I feel guilty. You know, I kind of want to look at what it is that makes people feel so over guilty about things and try to address that, because it's not really productive. It doesn't really serve you. I see it in my daughter sometimes, say, you know, honey, they can wait their turn. We waited our turn. And I like that about this character, because I also like it's not selfish. In fact, it's unselfish in the extreme. But at the same time, her life is necessarily less happy than she could be. And I think a lot of people do that.
So what's next for you? What are you working on now?
You know, I feel so lucky in this life, and I've decided I've embraced change in my life. And I'm writing historical fiction for the first time, and it's called Eternal, and it's about fascist Italy. And because I love these questions as a former law and law professor, I love questions about, like, as we talked about, you know, what is justice? What's the relation of law to justice? You know, if someone knows, ask the questions, what is justice in the absence of punishment? Eternal asks the question, what happens, what is justice when the laws themselves are unjust? You know, when you look at the laws, the Nuremberg laws, for example, in Nazi Germany, they allowed persecution of Jews. Italy had the same set of racial laws, a very similar set of racial laws that I think many people don't realize or know about. And I wanted to examine that. What is justice when you are enforcing laws that are themselves unjust? That's mind-blowing. And that's what I'm working on next.
Lisa, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for allowing me to speak so thoughtfully. I'd love talking to you.
Lisa Scottolini's latest novel is Someone Knows. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You'll find us on Facebook, and you can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Plus, you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.